Boston is the hub for robots in the U.S., and when you hear the word robots, you probably think automation. WBUR's Asma Khalid leads our biz tech team, Bostonomics, and she recently returned from a trip to China where there's a government mandate to automate factories. Hi there, Asma.
Hey, Deb.
So you went to China specifically to see what's happening in robotics. Why?
So I was really interested sort of culturally to see what's happening, in part because, you know, Deb, here in the U.S., automation is a really politically dirty word. But in China, automation is this buzzword that politicians love to say again and again, right? It's a really sort of politically popular idea. And in fact, China is installing more robots than any other country. I spoke with Gregory Allen about this. He's a fellow at the Center for New American Security. And he used to work with the White House Office of Science and Technology and also advise a bunch of robotics startups here in Boston.
The Chinese approach is less hamstrung by some of the political debates that we face in the United States. There's a lot of concern over unemployment through automation of jobs. That is just not as much of a concern in China. Right now, their primary problem is a labor shortage, not an unemployment crisis.
And you heard him, Deb, there just refer to a labor shortage. And in part, this is because China's one-child policy has really taken a toll on the working-age population. The other thing that Gregory told me that was really interesting is he says that the Chinese government feels fairly confident that they can essentially move their working population from a manufacturing sector to sort of a tech or a service sector because they have experience doing this, right? Much of their labor pool was actually, they were farmers just a few decades ago, and the country successfully turned many of those folks into the manufacturing sector.
So, Asma, essentially, automation is part of official government policy?
It is, Deb. It's a top priority for the Chinese government. And the thing is, Gregory Allen told me that China seems to be paying a lot more attention to all of this, and not just from a cultural attitude, but also in terms of actual government investment dollars.
So while China is throwing tens of billions of new dollars in funding and support for this type of technology and research in this technology, in the United States, it's being cut.
And Deb, China's president, Xi Jinping, has laid out this very ambitious plan called Made in China 2025 to ensure its companies automate so that they can keep manufacturing in the country. And I wanted to see what this automation revolution looks like. So I met Jerry Wong at his factory in Shanghai. Wong got his bachelor's, his master's, and his PhD from MIT. But in 2000, he decided to come home to start a telecom equipment company called Cambridge Industries Group.
China is facing a lot of pressures, labor costs, energy costs. And then this is why we put an emphasis on the automation rather than pure rely on low-cost labor.
Wong says back in the 80s and 90s, when China's economy first opened up to the world, labor used to be cheap. But now wages are rising. He pays his factory workers about $1,000 a month.
It's getting difficult competing with lower-cost factories in like Southeast Asia. So this is a big pressure on all the factories in Shanghai, right? So they have to move to the high end of the manufacturing or they're going to have to automate.
And so Wong is on a mission to automate. He says he's already cut his workforce by half. He eventually wants to have a factory where essentially the humans are just the technicians. And so a couple of years ago, he took some of the leaders from his R&D team and gave them a new job, figure out how to automate the factory lines.
He's our chief automation officer.
Hello. Very nice to meet you. Okay.
We put on slippers and a robe and step through a door to get decontaminated before we enter the clean room factory. Wong's colleague, Rose Hu, says when the company first started making routers and telecom equipment, everything was done by hand.
Yeah, we used to have two rows of people sitting
here
in service.
In this factory?
Yeah, in this.
And so when did this change?
Last year we started to do this.
Yeah.
She points out another assembly line, one that used to take over 60 workers, that now requires about a dozen. As I'm taking photos around the factory floor, I nearly stumble over a little warehouse robot delivering supplies.
Oh, he stopped for me. So he can sense when there's a human. And then if you move. And then he starts again.
Wang's obsession with robots isn't really that unique in his homeland. Last year, Chinese companies bought 87,000 robots. Now, that number might not seem like a lot, but it's about a third of all the robots sold around the globe. Part of China's appetite is directly tied to the government's agenda. China offers incentives to companies to automate. Wang says government subsidies will cover about 20% of his automation costs. But more than the money, it's the political push.
You know, our company is not a big company. But surprisingly, we got a big support. The deputy mayor visited here and gave a strong encouragement for using more automation technologies.
And all around China, you'll hear stories similar to Wang. Companies craving automation and a government hungry to help. At the World Robot Conference in Beijing, you get a taste of this ecosystem. The convention is this huge shindig with academics, robot companies, and just curious Chinese citizens. And one of the most popular exhibits is a dancing robot troupe. Little white humanoid robots with blue eyes swivel their arms and bend their knees better than a coordinated dance team. These robots are made by Yubi Tech. The general manager, Jeff Lee, says the startup has gotten money from private investors, but it also has one key stakeholder.
The government will also have some investment. The city government has big support to us.
Lee wouldn't say how much, but said it was big money from the city of Shenzhen, which is on the Chinese coast near Hong Kong. It's kind of like the hardware backyard for the world. Off a dusty alley, we go up a couple flights of stairs to the Yubi Tech factory. Ye Junwei is the production manager for all the robot joints on the assembly line. Think elbows and knees. He says this factory has two automation lines, one for assembly, the other for testing. He tells us with pride, the goal is to have robots making robots. Junwei says human labor is getting more expensive. Plus, it's not as consistent as a machine. His colleague, Qianqian Guo, chimes in. She says back in March of last year, this facility had 400 factory workers. Now it's down to about 150. Guo says her company recently started construction on a new factory in Yunnan because of a government grant. She says the Chinese government gave Yubi Tech the land, the factory, and even the office furniture, all for free.
That was WBUR's Asma Khalid reporting from China. And from China back to Boston, where Asma joins me in the studio. After hearing that report, Asma, I'm wondering where all these robots are coming from. Does China make its own robots?
So, Deb, most of these industrial robots actually come from Germany and Japan. China did not have much of a robotic sector even just 5 years ago. And so they're on this mission to catch up and make their own domestic robots. And in some cases, that means companies are copying competitors, or in other cases, they're buying up a foreign robot maker. The U.S. industry, of course, is far more mature than what you see in China at this point. And in fact, Boston is the leading robotics cluster. And so tomorrow, we'll actually hear how one Boston-based robotics company is trying to make inroads in China.
All right, looking forward to it. WBUR's Asma Khalid, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Asma's story was made possible by the Bringing Home the World International Reporting Fellowship Program for Minority Journalists at the International Center for Journalists.